Off the Ball Rugby.
Thank you, and thanks for supporting us, and hopefully you keep supporting us and keep saying good things about us.
Good stuff. The likeable Stacey Flood, as always.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Wednesday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
Anyone can dream it, but to be it, you must never stop competing. Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish women's rugby.
Now, we are turning our attention back to the Women's Rugby World Cup, which reaches the semi-final stage this weekend. Sadly, Ireland not a part of that final four. Sene Naupu, I'm delighted to say, is with us on the line. Evening, Sene.
Oh, evening, Owen. Hey, firstly, up Liverpool. You'll never walk alone.
You're a Liverpool fan?
Yeah, definitely Liverpool fan.
You must be pretty happy with how the season has started.
Yeah, on the back of a wonderful season last time. Up Mo Salah.
Salah is flying tonight. That's a good news, Sene. I'll keep you updated and I'll keep the listener updated if anything happens over the next little while. How did you feel after Ireland's defeat on Sunday?
I was absolutely gutted for the girls. But what a campaign to be proud of in general. What a wonderful last 12 months, let alone a few years, let alone it's been 8 years since the girls have been on the world stage. And that journey alone to get to where they got to against France, to fully sort of, you know, dominate possession in their first half in particular, and even in moments in that second half, you know, there's some pretty special moments and some of those players that they can be incredibly proud of. You know, throughout their campaign in general, Spain, Japan, then New Zealand, obviously, and then France. I mean, you had an Irish team that topped the charts in that set piece execution, all those sorts of wins along the way, and then the high stakes of high performance sport when you reach finals footy, that attack efficiency from France. I told you guys last week, man, that they're flying, and if you give them an inch, that edge is on always. So attack efficiency, you know, turnover in Ireland's green zone, a few passes and you're off. That's the danger of teams like France, who are well used to semi-finals, quarter-finals footy at World Cup level. But also, you know, France have historically, they've beat Ireland now 30 times against Ireland's wins against France 3 times plus the draw. So they would have went into that game with nothing else. And obviously it was a, you know, tasty battle for some of those girls in the France team. But they, yeah, that's finals, whatever. But the girls can be incredibly proud of themselves. We're certainly so proud of them. Just gutted.
Yeah. Because I suspect it might take a couple of days for the anger to wash away, because of course there seemed to be a little bit of a sense of injustice after what happened on Sunday. Obviously the bite that wasn't picked up. And I wonder, as a player, do you have to leave that to one side now over the next World Cup cycle, or is that something that can drive you on? I'm not quite sure how much amnesia we need to have and how much amnesia the players need to have about those moments that went against them on Sunday.
There's obviously a sense of injustice for sure, as in, you know, it was quite black and white. It was quite clear for TMOs to have a look at what that incident was and the level of foul play in such a critical match. So, yeah, look, it's gone through the process post. And unfortunately, and I know everyone's been saying it, well, some have been saying it, but like at the end of the day, the result is what it is at the moment. That genuinely, yeah, it wasn't good enough at all. And I think, you know, there'll be processes in place. Sukardi actually chairs the referees piece as well, so it'll be interesting in terms of their discussions moving forward. But, you know, the couple of incidences on, you know, that mixture of foul play, there's that kind of cynicism as well, cynical savviness.
Yes.
At that level is another level of the art of playing finals footy at World Cups, unfortunately. And in this instance, the result is what it is. Processes will be in place as well. I was disappointed myself, actually, because in between the panels, I was pitch side for BBC, Whisper TV, and amazing crew to work with. But in between, when we finish the set and go, it's always a couple of minutes that we have to keep an eye on. We've only got ears, don't have the visual until a little bit later. So, it's one of those things. I would have probably went to town on it if I had the visual.
Right, okay.
But overall, like, an incredible campaign for Ireland in general. And when you think about it, in some ways, if you look at it in the perspective that there's a level of contribution that the Irish women's team had in improving high performance overall. I mean, you know, a team like New Zealand, third week, third game, they targeted that game for 12 months. You know, ever since that defeat in November, that was the target. You know, there's a really critical measure of success in New Zealand rugby, and that's winning teams are back. And everyone knows that they're a tournament team, six-time world champions, and they were targeted in that game. And, you know, you could say that Ireland supported the improving of high performance overall because they put in their best performance against Ireland and then obviously going on to semis on Friday. But...
Could I ask it's a fascinating point that you make about, you know, cup rugby and having that mindset that's required to win these knockout games. I'm not saying Ireland needs to learn how to bite somebody's forearm in the white heat of battle, but there is something about the French approach, and it's not just the French, it's every team who is a lot more familiar with the idea of playing in World Cup semi-finals than Ireland are. Is there a sort of cultural learning to be made across the board with regards to actually keeping the foot down and winning these most important games of players' careers?
Oh, I think Ireland's genuinely, like Ireland women are on a completely different journey to a team like France. Like France have been in finals footy for World Cups consecutively, 4 years. I mentioned it before, first time in 8 years, Ireland's back to the point where they're disappointed they didn't make semis because absolutely they could have made the semis. They should have, you know, they know that themselves. That's how good the squad is in the level of specialist coaching and the program overall, where it's come to. Like that's the level and expectation that they have on themselves. But in some ways that was a desperate France, you know. That was a – clearly they never forgot that semi in 2022, World Cup 21 in Auckland, where they literally just missed out by a point or two in a kick against New Zealand, who went on to win the thing. So there's a difference in the journeys that both the teams are on. Without minimising the level of expectation of both. I mean, Ireland, what world-class squad we have. Like, genuinely, there's players in that squad that are real special players. There's a couple of, you know, generational players in there as well. There's green shoots. What I love about that squad is that we're all young enough for another cycle together. Other teams in this World Cup, they've had a few cycles together. This is a brand new, it's that new era, the new wave. There'll be a second wave every year. We'll keep getting better and better. We have to, there's no other option. That's the high stakes of high performance sport and the investment into that program for Ireland to be number one if they want to be number one. And I say this with respect to, I'm obviously in the New Zealand rugby system at the moment as well. from my perspective, you've got to consider that context.
Yeah, it's really important. I think a lot of people will have been buoyed by how far the Ireland team seems to have come in the space of a week, but maybe that's more of a representation of where New Zealand are actually at this World Cup compared to maybe where Ireland are at, because we still see that unbelievable performance that New Zealand put in last Sunday week against Ireland. They play Canada this weekend, the Black Ferns, in the World Cup semi-final, which is a fascinating matchup. I think we were quick to assume that it would be New Zealand versus England in the final. Canada might have a thing or two to say about that.
Oh, Jesus, absolutely. Canada have been on fire at this tournament. Similar level of physicality, athleticism. They are world class. Like, Canada consistently top 3-4 in the world for number of years. And then obviously, you know, the Black Ferns will be coming into this game again, also desperate for that win. It's going to be absolutely exciting. I mean, and Canada went over to New Zealand earlier on in the year. That was interesting, those games. It'll be interesting to see just defensively how the huge defence and the Black Ferns goes, and interesting to see how the senior players and the new sort of dynamic athleticism of the centres and back three of Canada go as well.
Sene, we had you on last week chatting about New Zealand versus Ireland, and unfortunately I didn't get time to ask you about the most important thing I needed to ask you about. So the previous week, the world stood still as Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift got engaged. And, you know, my timeline was full of people wishing congratulations to them. But the one person on my timeline who actually had some insight to the couple was you, Sene. I believe that you've done some work, your foundation and your charity work, and the Kansas City Chiefs have actually interacted with one another in the not-too-distant past.
Oh, yeah, there's a wonderful team involved from an NFL, coaching charities, all the foundations of some of the top players in NFL. Some wonderful connections, and people have been really grateful, very privileged to learn and work with and for, very much connected to, you know, how we grow rugby as well, from a, you know, global content acquisition, from a connection and what it looks like on the US market, certainly from a college football / college rugby upwards, its connection at senior level too. So within that ecosystem, and then obviously the player foundations, which from a community perspective, something so important to me. Like, it's such that connection to community, regardless of your, you know, on the global stage, it's on certain things, but that connection and serving the community at the grassroots is really something I hold very dear for me, to my heart, and then certainly so do a lot of the top NFL players. So those sorts of values align really easily. And, you know, the likes of Kevin Kaplan and his coaching charities, he works with a number of, you know, the top players. You know, there's a number of events that, you know, they develop, deliver, they raise millions for communities. So there's lots of lessons to be learned as well in terms of what we can do in rugby. At the same time, in North Otago, we're building a new stadium at the moment, so things are pretty hectic and crazy. So there's some really wonderful learnings across that in terms of, you know, donors and support and just more investment and money in rugby as well in the game. So aside from that, there's just some really special, awesome people in the NFL, Roger Goodall and those guys there. And it's very exciting for Ireland to host some of the games soon. So that'll be epic.
So I hadn't we've spoken to you about your work outside of rugby before, Sene, but I must say I hadn't quite appreciated, you know, just how vast it is and how many communities are impacted. So is this a case where you and the NFL are kind of working together to support disadvantaged communities across the United States, or how does this connection actually come about?
Oh, it's all, you know, Kevin Kaplan, his team, coaching charities, he's incredible. Like, he's come over to Ireland, watched Ireland men's games. We kind of, our first project was around that Miami Dolphins Chiefs game, where we connected the likes of, you know, Bundy and those guys with the Dolphins. And that's where the NFL rugby collabs sort of, you know, grew legs post Men's World Cup. It was a perfect time as well. Certainly from a global diaspora of Pacific players as well, that was also another lens at which we could elevate, you know, our athletes in rugby, athletes in NFL, and then everything in and around it. So it's pretty much that. I mean, yeah, it was incredibly like, sometimes I hadn't posted in months and months, but there's been some wonderful, wonderful experiences with some incredible people that have incredible influence to raising a lot of funds for communities. So we need to do the same as well in rugby and so that strategic relations is something that, you know, you never take for granted and you cherish for the growth of the game and, you know, communities as well that need it.
Yeah, we must have a longer chat about that sometime. It was just you and Travis Kelce in a selfie together just stood out of my timeline there a couple of weeks ago. So I said I'd have to ask the question. Listen, Sene.
He's lovely, by the way. Sene,
thanks so much for your time this evening and enjoy the last couple of weekends of the Rugby World Cup. We'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks, Owen. Cheers, guys.
And just to tell you as well that Wednesday Night Rugby and Off the Ball is with Bank of Ireland, the proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing. We'll take a quick break.
Wednesday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
Anyone can dream it, but to be it, you must never stop competing. Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish women's rugby.